Hello and welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Kevin Decker.
And I'm Tony Flynn, and you are listening to Men in Charge, a point which Kevin never fails to leave out.
That's right. Well, I think I said it, but who knows if I did. It's all in the past now.
Did you?
Yeah,
it's in the past.
Yeah, it's in
well,
the past.
I think it's important to emphasize things that occur to me at the last minute. Today's episode is entitled Winningly Lunch for Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Most of you are gone during the day. You don't know what your dog is up to. He's getting lunch most of the day.
Yes.
And dogs are such omnivores. Anything available will be lunch, won't it, Kevin?
And not just omnivores, but literal omnivores. We're talking about tin cans. We're
talking
about,
that's what I meant.
Yeah, Lunchables for dogs that you stored in your fridge.
Useless bits of upholstery.
Oh, it looks like somebody's coming to the studio door.
Oh,
Here.
Okay, this is Nancy and Ann, Nancy Roth and Ann Porter.
Thank you. Thank
writer
you.
And cast member.
Here's you told us that you were going home. I didn't realize that you were going to be sitting here monopolizing as you always do.
Yeah. As they always do.
Yeah, just because they're men in charge doesn't mean they're in charge.
This is supposed to be our time.
It is our time.
And when is our time?
That's
the
right.
Board?
Your time is at night when the lights are off and the office are locked. Come on.
Yeah,
we'd
right.
like to talk about the board since you brought it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, the board has said that we always are the ones doing the banter. So that's why you guys were not
have
invited.
They discussed it with us?
Well, no.
They
well,
have not.
The board will be issuing a memo. You'll hear about it through official channels. It's not, I mean, do we have
to
call
in? I
told
you they'd say this.
I know. I think we need to start our own board.
What about Kevin? Women in
Kevin,
charge?
I think we have to call in the enforcement arm of Men in Charge.
We do, yes. I'm
Wait
not sure
minute.
Who that
Let
is anymore.
But it's,
I think, take them out. That's it. That'll do.
Out.
We'll be back.
Okay.
Yeah, that's likely.
Keeping us on tenterhooks.
Yes,
there.
Right.
Should we talk about the sketches that we have for today now that today's rebellion has been quashed?
We have.
Love
we
that
have.
Word, quashed.
They're still here.
Oh, what? Okay.
We'll leave them in their shame. Yes, let's talk about it.
Okay.
We have a continuation of Heaving Bosoms, the gothic romance that is a meta-narrative in which the main character, Elspeth Everready, quarrels with the writer.
That's correct, and it's too bad Anne's not here anymore because she could talk about it since she wrote it with Nancy, but too bad.
Yeah, too bad.
Too bad. After that, we have Gardening with Melania. I don't know who this Melania person is, but maybe she's famous. And Grady Grubb from the local Arts and Culture Beat, I think, is interviewing her about the unusual fast food items that she grows in her garden.
And after that, we have a commercial. Has this guy paid us yet, Kevin?
No, but the check might bounce.
If it even arrives. This is a new sponsor, Richard J. Garlick and Daughters. If you don't have a legal problem, he will create one for you. Oh, isn't that right, Kevin?
That's exactly how he works.
Yes, and we'll be seeing him in the next couple of weeks.
Right. And then after a brief musical interlude with our pal Mark Graham, our final sketch today will be Maybelle's Lady Emporium. This takes place in Alabama, where there's been a lot of recent news.
Quite the contretemps.
Yeah, and this is also about ladies and also about reproductive unfreedom. So we hope you'll like it. It's very timely.
It's timely and yet, I don't know, a little disturbing. There are tapeworm references.
People are knocking to get in.
No.
That's
we need better security here.
Guard.
Leon
guards,
put down his truncheon at
guards.
The wrong time. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. That'll work. Never again.
No. Now we gotta pull the shutters on the windows. From
shutters.
Now on.
This has to become a safe room.
It does.
A safe place for
we
men to be.
We need a kind
be.
Of security airlock
yeah.
that is coded to our retinal prints.
I did leave a retinal print, and I'm sorry, I've been trying to wipe it off.
Yeah.
But it won't come out.
Unless you have any spare eyes rolling around your house, I think it should be secure. So.
All right, but it left a stain on the wall. Every time I look at it, I leave a retinal stain. So look, I'm going to look away from you, Kevin.
We have reached a new low in talking about bodily fluids, ladies and gentlemen.
Fear not, Kevin.
Okay.
Mine are crisp and dry.
Huh?
Hello, this is Guinevere Spayhastener. The Federal Aviation Administration imposes serious fines for not listening to an entire episode of Men in Charge. Don't make me stop the car, listener.
Greetings, listener. How often do we have the chance to listen to the bubbling cauldron of a writer's mind at work? I know, way too often. Anyway, this being Men in Charge, today we're only listening in on the writing cauldron of Madge Mudd, a hack romance novelist who's risen almost halfway up the ranks of self-published authors. So now, Heaving Bosoms, Episode 2. Today we continue our exploration of our heroine's, where are my notes?
You forgot your notes? Forget them. Let's get started. I got a story to write.
Shh. Madge, I seem to have a bit of a headache.
Lightweight. It was all that time yesterday afternoon, evening, and this morning at the Dewdrop Inn. It was amateur night. Cultural affairs radio announcer playing strip poker with half the bar patrons in Lower Heights.
Shh.
Where's the fiesta now, party girl? Well, okay. I'll do the intro. Greetings, listener. I am the famous writer Madge Montague. Today we continue my prize-winning epic saga.
Famous? Prize-winning? And since when is your name Montague?
What? Are you interrupting me?
Ah, no. No shouting, please.
Right. Okay. Madge Mudd here. And listener, you're going to get a ringside seat as I write the next episode of Heaving Bosoms, my prize-winning epic saga of love, lust, and longing. In the first episode, our heroine, Elspeth Everready, is rescued by that dark-haired hunk of the Highlands, Grantley Ridgely.
Hurry up.
Mind your manners, Elspeth. As I was saying, Elspeth meets Grantley on a blustery moor, and he rightly decides that she is not only chilled by the wintry winds, but deranged as well.
Hey!
Today, the action begins as Grantley takes Elspeth to the nearest humble cottage in hopes of some food and warmth.
Whoa, Ramrod, whoa! Have no fear, miss. I have cantered my mighty steed across the moor to the nearest habitation, where, I pray, we may find succor for you and your little spaniel.
Madge, does he have to talk like that all the time?
You want the rock-hard biceps and manly chin or not?
Yes, Madge. Oh, kind sir, I am forever grateful for your kind attentions to my maidenly welfare.
Think nothing of it, lovely miss. Now, just a rap on the door.
Shh! You know he can't hear you.
Open, I beg of you. We have need of immediate assistance.
Well. What have we here? A pretty young lady in trouble?
Not that kind of trouble.
I think I know trouble when I see it. You better come in, the two of you, and that little spaniel. Warm yourselves by the fire.
My thanks to you, good crone. Let us remove our snowy wraps and...
Lord Ridgely! Oh, sir, with all your winter garments, I didn't realize...
Lord Ridgely, now you have my full attention.
Behave yourself, Elspeth. If you don't, I might marry him off to somebody else.
Madge, you wouldn't. But if you're going to give him a wife, let her be locked up somewhere at the very least.
Pardon the young lady, good wife. She is unwell. She raves.
Are you so sure about that? Anyway, carry her over here to this dank corner where she can rest on the iron settle.
You are too kind, ma'am. As you can see, she is a delicate flower.
I very much appreciate the warmth of your handsome assistance. The crone's hard settle is cold comfort after such attentions.
Careful, Elspeth. Be good.
Whatever, Madge. I am grateful for the help of you both, and, Oh, I don't know. The nice things here at this crone cottage.
Miss, I see you are in good hands. I take leave knowing you will be well cared for. Ladies, I must ride on to my next manly deed. I will be back tomorrow for news on your progress, miss.
Tomorrow?
Au revoir.
There he goes. Look lively, you little slattern. Time for chores.
Chores? But you heard, Lord Ridgely. I'm a delicate flower.
Ha! I can see the lay of the land better than that simple lordling. You can start by slapping the hogs.
Madge!
Whoever Madge is, she can't help you now, you spoiled minx.
Sorry about that, Elspeth. You got work to do, apparently. And it's time for me to head back to the Dewdrop Inn with my new radio announcer pal. You coming for a little hair of the dog? Shh! Enough with the radio. It's party time.
Tune in again next time, listener, when we'll hear Lord Ridgely say,
Elspeth, may I call you Elspeth? Why are you covered with soot and hog bristles?
You're listening to Men in Charge, the home of Hungary's Crasplasian Family Radio Puppetry Theater.
Greetings, listener. I'm Grady Grubb, Lower Heights Community Affairs Reporter. And that's pronounced Grubb with an E, and the E is silent. Today, we're introducing a new series called Gardening with Melania. We all know the benefits of starting your own garden, the organic fruit and vegetables, the fresh air, the chance to really dig in and get your hands dirty.
Eek! Well, thank you, Grady. Ah, yes, dirty hands. Usually I am leaving this sort of thing to Donald. But enough about him. Today I'm turning over new leaves. No more wearing $4,000 floral skirt with pink heels to plant one sapling.
Well, that was a stunning fashion statement, no doubt about it. Do you feel that this present series will show a different, down-home side of the Melania that the American people have come to know and be aware of?
Yes, Grady. I cannot part with golden shovel I use for that sapling, but now is tough and rugged Melania, the woman of the soil who comes here today. Today, you see, I'm wearing my $600 plaid shirt for the second time. And I plant little seeds that grow into dinner for my family. I rake. I hoe. Now I plant. Pick-meck, pick-meck, pick-meck. Drumstick, drumstick.
Wait, you're planting Big Macs and drumsticks? How is that possible?
It's so easy, Grady. You see, I have seed packets with labels that say Big Mac and labeled that say drumstick. Nice, eh? We all know there is no such thing as Big Mac seeds or drumstick seeds, but this is typical family business. We offer empty packets with just the photographs. Nice.
Wait, what happens when nothing grows?
By the time people figure out nothing comes up, we are talking about illegal immigrants stealing non-existent seeds.
But then what do people eat?
They can go through drive-thru just like our chauffeur does for us.
And if they can't afford to?
We sell them more seeds. My Donald is so proud of this plan.
What an education this has been. But I'm afraid that's all the time we have today for Gardening with Melania. This is Grady Grubb saying tune in next time when we'll hear Melania say,
Donny, maybe we try this plan with healthcare? I will wear nurse's uniform.
Hi, listener. This is Jamie the engineer. Hey, I don't need this job, but if you don't keep tuning in, Kevin and Tony get really depressed, and that's when my half sandwiches go missing.
The following is an important announcement from the law offices of Richard J. Garlick.
Have you been injured on the job, or at the gym, or just while watching cable? Then unless you're going to make that hamstring pull worse, you should immediately call the law offices of Richard J. Garlick.
And daughters.
I've been winning cases in this city since the 1940s, and I've been training the next generation of legal prestidigitators, my daughters, Tegan and Tabitha.
Did a flawed new leather belt harmfully cut off circulation to your legs?
Do you suffer grievous mental harm every time you see departmental store mannequins who are thinner than you?
Then call us.
Look at them go. And as a bonus, if you have a new home and a plumbing problem, what about our Socko 2-for-1 Pipe Buster Special? We're about to welcome a plumber into the family.
Pa, I told you we shouldn't commit my fiancé Arnold to anything on the air.
We can send Arnold out to fix your problem right away, any day, any time. Then we immediately start proceedings against your real estate agent, your home inspector, and your title insurance company.
No case is too big or small. No claim is too frivolous.
Daddy does not like those title insurance companies.
This is not the place to discuss politics. But if you've discussed politics with a pal or chum and it's gotten out of hand, there's one number to call.
Call the law offices of Richard J. Garlick, spelled G-H-A-A-R-L-I-C-K.
And daughters.
When I sit in contemplation of the human situation, I often feel a certain sense of pride. For our achievements are many and they're mighty, and the evidence cannot be denied. But my reverie is shaken, 'cause my thoughts are always taken to a tragedy that happened long ago. When there moved through the land beings awesome and grand, the fabulous dinosaur. They were creatures in a manner quite reptilian, in their unique and stylish way. And their numbers could be reckoned in the millions, but there are zero of these heroes in the world today. They had music, art, and fashion. There was dinosauric passion, and I think they'd be enraged and mortified that when they're mentioned today, it's only to say their brains were small and they died. Some asteroid that Mother Earth could not avoid became the agent of their premature demise. I understand that these things can happen, so who are we to criticize? When we'll spend most any price to have the ultimate device to ensure the perfect global suicide, I would venture instead that the humanoid head is where the tinier brain resides. And when we're gone, our works will start to crumble until nothing can be found. Into million years, some other guys may stumble on our fossils, then some expert will begin to expound in some scientific study to his cockroach science buddies how the evidence can never be denied. They were big, dumb, and slow. They couldn't go with the flow. Their brains were small and they died. Their brains were small and they died.
Kevin, I think Mark Graham has plunged another stake deep into the heart of American culture with that observation about why humans disappeared from this planet.
That's right. We can only wait to see if it plays out that way. It's very likely to, I believe.
It is. So. Probably in another couple of weeks.
And credits. Yeah.
In Men in Charge's ongoing effort to banish the provincial and embrace cultural diversity, we take you today to southern Alabama, to the little town of Petrie, population 79, more or less. Now let's join our listener stand-ins from upstate New York, Susan and Bert Covington, as they enter Maybell's Lady Emporium on their first trip to the Deep South.
Let's try to get in and out, Susan. Don't touch anything that we haven't decided to buy. All this stuff looks green with mildew. Maybe we should just go.
But, Bert, I need tampons.
Here they are. But I'm not sure these were manufactured in the 21st century. Probably used tobacco leaves instead of cloth.
Well, hello, strangers. I'm Maybell Coors, owner and proprietor of Maybell's Lady Emporium. I'd recognize foreign accents anywhere. You folks are a long way from home, am I right? Haven't seen you in church.
Actually, we're just passing through town. Lovely town, by the way. Petrie, right?
Well, bless your heart for even trying to pronounce the name of our town. It's actually Petrie, and that's the Lord's truth.
Oh, sorry. Petrie?
Almost. It's Petrie. Try again now, hon.
Petrie?
Oh, that's just fine. Like a kitten fixing to fire its first rifle. Just as sweet as can be. But after you're settled in a spell, you'll be talking like you live just up the road a piece. Naturally, though, it'll rely on where you go to church. Which church you think you'll be choosing as your place of worship?
Well, as I said, we're just passing through. I'm attending a conference in Mobile, and it's going to...
But you can't just leave without tasting a few of our lovely old churches. How neighborly would that be?
Well, I suppose it might be fun to visit a church while we're passing through.
What church do you recommend?
What church? Well, where to begin? It's like Joshua cleaning the Jericho stables just to get halfway through the list. There's Tank Church, Pattsburg Church, Live Oak Church, Luverne United Methodist Church, Providence Church, Darien Church, Rising Star Church.
My, that's a lot. Susan, why don't we just pay for what you have there and then we can be on our way and...
Did you say Tank Church?
Oh my, yes, Tank Church.
There's a tank at the church?
Well, bless your heart for asking. Why, of course there's a tank. Why ever would there not be?
What sort of tank is at this church?
I don't rightly remember the make and model, but I do recall that it's World War II vintage.
Is it operational?
Well, maybe we are a bit back in the woods here in Petrie, but let me just say that it's firing on all cylinders.
Do you fire the tank often?
Well, only on Sundays when there's a baptism.
Baptism? Oh, I understand now. That kind of tank. Immersion, right?
Why, bless your heart. Did you think I was referring to a World War II U.S. Army tank?
No, of course not. Well, actually, sort of.
I know. And it amused me to let you think so. It's kind of a local sport here. In point of fact, the only church what still has an old U.S. Army tank is Campground Church, north of Luverne.
Well, you've certainly provided us with a lot of options, Maybell. But right now, if you could just ring this up for me so that we could be on our way.
What? Those tampons? You don't want those. Not if you're trying to quit. Let me show you the good ones.
Maybelle, could you roll me over? I'm starting to stiffen up again.
Be right there, Sheriff. This'll only take a minute. You wait right here.
You have the sheriff in the back? And you need to roll him over?
Oh, my heavens, no. That's not the sheriff. That's my husband, Sheriff Coors. Sheriff is his Christian name. Of course, now, our county sheriff is Sheriff's little brother, Ezra, so he's also Sheriff Coors. Strange are the ways of the Lord. I carry my faith with me like a fox carries hens from the chicken yard.
Maybelle, please, I'm getting one of my kinks.
On my way, Sheriff. He's got the tapeworm, you see. It makes him a bit of a sleepyhead, and overly mild, bless his lazy little heart. Why don't y'all come back and say hello? Y'all can help me roll him over.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on now. Sheriff won't mind at all. He'll be glad of the company.
Okay.
That's a rat! You have rats!
Oh, don't worry your little foreign heads about him. That one's a Norwegian rat, not a rat from one of those S-hole countries the president talks about. I'm part Norwegian myself, so just don't make any sudden moves.
That's all the time we have now for Maybelle's Lady Emporium. Tune in again next time when we'll hear Maybelle say,
I told you not to make any sudden moves.
Today's episode was written by Ann Porter, Kevin Decker, and Tony Flynn, and the cast includes the same. Ann Porter, Tony Flynn, Kevin Decker, Nancy Roth, Judy Stewart-Strobelt, Liz Rognes, Davis Hill, Nisha Schramm, Mimi Marinucci, and Tony Flynn and Kevin Decker.
Yeah, don't forget us. Oh, and by the way, thanks to the Bad Plus for our theme song. And thanks to those three people who, if they were a dinosaur, would be a triceratops, Carrie Boyce, Vern Windham, and Nisha Schramm. And thank you also to the only man who compulsively washes his feet every day, Brian Lindsay.